Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast where three Hollywood professionals have an hour to turn an idea, a humble idea, into a pitch for an awesome movie. I'm your overly enthusiastic host, Freddie Wong.
I am Stretch Campos, screenwriter who can reach really far for an observation or pithy remark.
Very good.
I am Matt Arnold, stretchy boy first and foremost, writer-director second.
This week, we're tackling, perhaps, the Mount Everest of movie adaptations. Many have tried, millions of dollars thrown into this proverbial pit of an idea, but they didn't have one thing going for them. They didn't have the three amigos, the desperados, the kings of comedy themselves. I can't come up
with Oh boy.
Stretch Armstrong.
What? I didn't know we were doing Stretch Armstrong.
What a coincidence that you said you were a stretchy boy enthusiast.
That's how I decide every single time.
I said I was a stretchy boy, not an enthusiast of stretchy boys.
You're the least flexible person I know, Matt.
Okay.
Okay, so let's talk about what inspired this episode. This is, you know, our 50th episode, which is a very
exciting
milestone.
This is our bicentennial episode?
This is our bicentennial episode. No, that's 200 years. My monthly would be once every 2 months. So this is our, like, half centennial
episode. If our first episode was the signing of the Declaration of Independence, then this episode is when John Adams and Thomas Jefferson would have died.
50 weeks after the signing of the Declaration
years after signing of the Declaration of Independence.
If every episode of Story Break
was a year
after the signing of the Declaration of Independence, John Adams dies this episode.
Yes.
Okay. So Hollywood has tried for years to make a Stretch Armstrong movie, and now...
Where they all failed,
the story boys shall succeed.
Well, see, here's something they didn't have. A little secret weapon. Matt, I think you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes. Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
That's right, baby. Dwayne The Rock Johnson. The insatiable filmmaking appetite of Dwayne The Rock Johnson has now claimed us here.
Let me get a little insider baseball for everybody.
A little insider B-ball.
Some of you aren't in Hollywood. Let me just lay this down. Dwayne The Rock Johnson actually has a mandate that if you work in Hollywood, you are required to pitch ideas for Dwayne The Rock Johnson because his appetite is insatiable. He needs at least 10 films a year. So we were contacted to be like, hey guys, it's kind of like a union. They're like, hey, you guys have been working here for like 5 years and you've yet to pitch a Dwayne The Rock Johnson movie? Time's up. You gotta do it.
We're all trying our hardest to do movies for Dwayne The Rock Johnson. You guys really need to chip in.
Yes.
He reads one script per calorie of his 10,000 calorie a day diet.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson's a lot like the bus from Speed. If the bus from Speed had to make a lot of movies.
So we are all Dwayne The Rock Johnson fans, and we decided that he is Stretch Armstrong.
Unfortunately, we got to the party late, and the only thing left to adapt that Dwayne The Rock Johnson has not been in is Stretch Armstrong.
Okay, for those who don't know what Stretch Armstrong is, which, I mean... You should know if you're a kid or ever a kid. But what Stretch Armstrong is in 1976, is an old toy, it was just an action figure that was kind of like a shirtless dude who was really buff. And if you stretched him, he would stretch. So he started as 18 inches, and you could stretch him up to 4 to 5 feet. Pretty much the stretchy girl, stretchy woman in Incredibles.
Yeah.
Fantastic Four?
Or Fantastic.
Isn't Mr.
Fantastic does stretch. So, yes. Yeah, Stretch Armstrong, I'm looking at a picture of him right now. And, yeah, he is just a buff, blonde man. He's kind of got like that, like, old-timey 1940s buff physique.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, he's just in a little – he's in like a black like sing – like what is that? What is that called? Like it's just underwear basically.
Underwear.
He's in sexy black underwear.
A little singlet.
A singlet. And then, yeah, so basically how Stretch Armstrong would work from my memory would be you would get two friends together to pull his limbs as far as you possibly could.
Yep.
And then one person would let go and then the rest of this 12-pound doll would hit you in the testicles and you would fall over in pain.
And then
most of my Stretch Armstrong.
And then you would all go play Nintendo 64.
And then you'd all go play inside.
So
Hold on real quick. A lot of talk, but I think we should start the clock.
Yes, let's start the clock. So really quick, what we did, the only research we did is we watched the commercial, the original commercial, which tells us essentially two things besides his ability to stretch, which is he fights crime because the commercial is there's
a
guy robbing a bank and he stops the crime. And
well, to be fair, someone yells, help, and the bank robbers get away in the car. And what Stretch Armstrong does is just stretch his arm out to stop the car. We don't know if he wanted that money for himself.
That's true.
Fine. He might be fine. Maybe he's not a sure. He may be a criminal.
He could be a gritty Netflix style anti-hero in the vein of, say, the Punisher.
The other thing that's important is they say he was always that way, and then they show a crib and a bottle of milk across the room, and then a grotesque, stretchy arm, clearly of a man, stretches across the room and grabs the bottle. So he's always been stretchy. So this is no
falling in
radioactive material or been by a stretchy spider.
Which I do want to point out is maybe that's why we're going to succeed where some of these other versions have failed. The first version of this was in 1994. Walt Disney attempted to make this movie with Tim Allen in the role of Stretch Armstrong, playing a sort of like single dad scientist who accidentally exposes himself to his own stretchy theorem.
No, that's not the mythos.
That's not the mythos. We're going to finally go back to the original Stretch Armstrong lore from the one commercial we watched.
We're adapting the book.
Yeah.
It's only as good as the source material, and we have the best source material.
Okay, so...
It's a little Rosemary's Baby-esque. I do like that this... It's very...
How is it like Rosemary's Baby?
Oh, yeah,
Baby?
Hold on. Back that up.
Was that... that like mean Rosemary's,
Rosemary's Baby, huh?
I don't understand how the Omen makes that make more sense, but go ahead.
Never mind any of those.
It had a baby. One of these, that movie had a baby in it.
They had a baby in it. No, but it's like there's like a whole series of fairy tales. Usually, like, the baby comes out very small. What, like, Princess Kaguya?
What are you talking about?
There's a lot of fairy tales where, like, the parents have a baby, and then the baby's different. And then that difference becomes what's special about that baby. I mean, it's a common theme.
That's
your Rosemary's Baby tie-in? No, I'm skipping. I'm going away.
Rosemary's Baby is a movie about a very special baby
who comes to visit
Mia Farrow. If you guys want to play along with Story Break at home, just do yourself a favor and Google Stretch Armstrong and then click images, because Stretch Armstrong is like the funniest looking toy of all time. It's like this doughy dude, and like he can bend into these yoga shapes too.
He can tie himself in knots. He's a yoga instructor.
Let's think about this for a second. Who is Stretch Armstrong? So here's the question.
What do we know about him? Let's start with just the facts, man. He stretches.
His physique. He's got some physique. He's not some like Tim Allen, you know, he's scientist dude. He's the rock style dude.
He's a strong, stretchy man.
Yes.
He's a strong, stretchy...
In underwear, which
what
makes sense
because
he What
does it say on his Tinder profile?
Which makes sense because he... Whoa, are we going to get blue here? What else stretches? He's a strong, stretchy man. Mm-hmm. Who doesn't wear clothes when he stretches, because obviously the clothes would rip.
Oh, the clothes would rip, certainly.
Why would his clothes rip?
Because he's
what
stretching.
Shirt do you know?
What shirt do you can hold, you sustain 12 hold, feet of arm length?
Oh, you're
yeah,
right.
But his shirt doesn't stretch with his arm.
You're right. It'd just be baggy.
Like no, it would just be like if you pulled my arm and it stretched, my shirt would not stretch
with it. I'm incorrect. He's just proud of his body. Okay, he worked hard for it. And he's proud of it. Okay, so this is my main question. Do people know he exists? Is he, like, known around the world?
That's a good point.
Here's the thing, is I don't think he is a Spider-Man type figure.
Because,
you know, visually, superheroes cover themselves to hide who they are.
That's
Stretch
a good
Armstrong
point.
Seems very comfortable with who
there
he
is. There is no Stretch Armstrong secret identity.
He is pretty much naked.
No, but you could have a Superman type situation where he disguises his identity in real life. Superman is Superman, but Clark Kent is the alter ego.
Yeah.
So you could do that. Like Stretch Armstrong could have a normal, like, you know, stiff neck pencil geek, the man who doesn't stretch at all, is his secret identity that he uses when he's fighting, you know, not fighting.
So that
crime.
Would imply that, yes, people can't know that he's Stretch Armstrong.
Yes, Stretch Armstrong has many enemies.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's like that's the thing. Is like if everybody knows he's Stretch Armstrong, like what's the
drama? Here's what let me talk, because again, what we're talking about here, we're more or less talking about a Superman movie.
Yeah.
Because you've got, yes, from birth, right? Like he is the stretchy boy. His parents are Ma and Pa Kent, more or less. What I feel like, and Hollywood does not have a great track record with a Superman movie either. Superman's been a tough nut for them to crack. And I do kind of feel like the secret identity stuff is why they haven't been able to do it, because Hollywood, like again, like Man of Steel just throws that out the window.
Yeah.
Like they're all interested in the idea of Superman as this buff god, but they don't get to the human heart of the character, right?
Yes.
So, and like, you know, like the being in love and like, you know, like not being able to have a normal life. And like, again, it's all the stuff Spider-Man 2 does really well. You could do with the Superman movie, but they just don't do it.
You're right. It's been a while since, because even the Marvel movies are now like the universe of Marvel is everybody, like the Avengers blew up New York. So everybody knows the superheroes.
It's all that heightened reality.
I think that was something that was probably refreshing for people with Spider-Man Homecoming, was it was like back to like he's a teenager, he has this secret life as a superhero.
Yeah.
Not to say that we should necessarily do that with Stretch Armstrong, but
no, I think that's a good, because I like, because it is. It's like Stretch Armstrong's like the bad first draft of Superman. Like, so I looked, it's like, okay, but like, how about just make him fly and do other cool shit? Like, he just stretches.
You're right.
So, but I do like, okay, because yes, you could do the classic, like, if everybody knew he could stretch, he'd probably be, because like, by the way, I'm looking at a picture of kids with X-Acto knives opening up Stretch Armstrong.
Oh my God.
And it's like, and to be fair, I tore when my friend had it. At a certain point, he's like, hey, you want to see what's inside his arms?
That is, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Because then now there's also part of me that wants to make the movie about a literal Stretch Armstrong doll. And then the villain is like Sid in Toy Story, and it's a kid who's driven mad by his curiosity, is like a Frankenstein who must know what secret Stretch Armstrong contains. But I like that as the villain. Like, someone wants to understand and harvest Stretch Armstrong's stretchy power. Mm-hmm.
It's Elon Musk, and he's like, I need this stretchy power to reach the moon.
I like that. Yes, it is more funny if he's got to hide his stretchy powers. Because you can just get the classic, like, you know, it's like some, you know, he's trying to have his bros over for a brewski to fit in at work, and then somebody wants a beer, and he's like,
"Oh yeah, yeah."
He quickly stretches his arm and brings it back. He's like, "Whoa, that was fast!" Like, it's like that.
Oh, you know, I just keep my beers here.
Will's laughing like that wasn't a funny joke, but just put Dwayne the Rock Johnson in and put some trailer music, and that gets people into the theater.
Could you do? He is a Stretch Armstrong doll come to life through magic. Like, it's a Pinocchio story. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's like a buzz. Because I'm also like, yeah, I'm also trying to think about, let's think about old DJ, old Dwayne the Rock Johnson. Yeah. Like, I'm trying to think of my favorite Dwayne the Rock Johnson movies, right? Like, I thought he was really good in Central Intelligence. Yeah. And I think what was so brilliant about Central Intelligence was that he's playing a big nerd who turned into The Rock. Right, like that was what's so fun about that movie.
Yeah, that was what was
he was the or similar to him in Jumanji. Like he's playing like a dork trapped in The Rock's body, and like I think about the movies where he just plays a big buff badass, and I don't like him as much.
No, but to your point, let's treat it like a Superman movie because he would play a great Clark Kent. Like Clark Kent is a big dork. Like just because he didn't turn into Superman, like
that's very
fun.
True. Yeah,
I think him doing Clark Kent. I think we should try to do it as Stretch. Here's maybe the rhetorical question I would propose, or the brain teaser to try to figure out what the angle is. It's like, what can't Stretch Armstrong reach?
Oh,
that's the heart of the question.
What can't Stretch?
Whatever that means.
What about
but what he can't reach?
The love of his son.
You've always talked about people haven't done a good Superman movie, so I'd say, well, this is your chance to do a good Superman
movie. I know,
movie.
I've been talking a lot of game about how everyone does Superman wrong, but then I don't have any ideas for how to do Superman right. He's hard.
And Stretch Armstrong, by the way, on pure action level, could be really cool because it would essentially be like Spider-Man with, like, punching. Well, Spider-Man punches. But it's like, Spider-Man, you'd imagine instead of flying around the city, he'd be like stretching his arms out and like swinging around and turning into stuff and tying knots. And you could do cool stuff.
You could definitely also do that because he needs people's help. Like, if he's going to launch, right? Like, he can put his arms, but he needs someone to pull him back to shoot him. Do you know what
that's
I mean?
Oh, point. You totally have like the Spider-Man 2 subway scene.
Yeah.
But instead, he needs everybody else.
He needs the city to pull him.
Because he's so broken. There'd be something that they figure out how to make him not, like, he can't control his muscles anymore. So he's broken. He can't control stretching. So he needs the people to pull him. And it's just like the commercials and where the kids are all grabbing each of his limbs and stretching him. But he has, like, the whole city grab his limbs and they pull him like a slingshot.
Okay, what can't Stretch Armstrong reach? Yes. Let's just start there, right? Yes. Like, that's at least a question I can go off of.
Yeah.
And again, to me, it feels like, who can't he reach, right? It feels like this is a guy who has it all, but he can't.
What about this? The old John McClane, Stretch Armstrong, love of his life. Just wants to tie the knot, but he could tie the knot otherwise, right, with his arms, but not metaphysically with the love of his life.
Whether he has a secret identity or not, right, is the Stretch Armstrong persona famous?
As the commercial, he's a crime fighter. He's a superhero.
Yes.
I think he's a superhero. So I think it is definitely a secret identity. And I get why. It's like he's
All right, well, then let's walk back. Take it back another step. Why does he fight crime?
Yeah.
Batman fights crime because his parents got killed by a criminal and he hates bats, so he dresses up like a bat to scare criminals.
What is the hard? Because I'm not a big Superman fan. I'm less like, not that I dislike it, more like I just don't give a shit. So what makes Superman work for you, Will?
I like that he's a good guy. Do you know what I mean? Like, I like that he's just a good dude who's not doing. He's not angry at the world. He's trying to help the world, right? Like, I think at his worst, they play into him being this, like, cold alien god, so to speak, you know? But, like, I think, like, he's just this kid. It's the ultimate immigrant story. He's this kid from another world that has these incredible powers, and he's going to use them for good because he was raised on good, wholesome American values by, you know, by Ma and Pa Kent, and he comes to the big city, and the big city is mean and cynical, right? Yeah. Lois Lane is, you know, a hard-assed reporter. Lex Luthor is this cold, calculating billionaire. No one is ready for his message of earnest optimism and, like, you know, goodwill towards men. We should help each other, right?
Yeah.
And then he is going to, that's what he embodies, right? And then he's always going to try to do the right thing. He's always going to struggle to do the right thing. And, you know, to me, the stakes are, people are always like, oh, is it boring because Superman can't get killed? And I'm like, well, you know that James Bond isn't going to die. Yeah. You know that Batman is not going to get killed by the Joker. But his soul is at stake and the world around him is at stake. The things he cares about are in jeopardy. Like, you know, Lois Lane could die. Jimmy Olsen could die. The city of Metropolis could get wrecked by Lex Luthor if Superman's not strong enough to stop him. And, you know, like, he can't be in two places at once. He can't, whatever, right? Well, so, like, he is a simple character, and I think that that's where a lot of the adaptations go wrong, is they try to tease this complexity out of Superman that is not what makes him interesting. What makes him interesting is that he's a good guy.
He's a good guy in a complex world.
Well, yeah, there's actually one of my favorite, there's an incredible little panel from a Superman comic that I can't remember who, I think it's from Grant Morrison's Superman All-Star Superman, I think. And it's this girl, and she's going to jump off a ledge. And she's standing there, and then Superman shows up, and he's like, it's okay, your doctor really didn't get your phone call, like, the, like, you know, it's not like she jumps off and then he swoops in and catches her. He literally just shows up and is a shoulder for her to cry on, and she hugs him, and it's beautiful. And I'm like, that's what the character's about to me.
Yeah,
it's just like this good, earnest
person. He's a good
person
despite his powers. Like, it's something he uses, but that's not why he's a good person.
Yeah, he doesn't, it's not, and again, this is a guy who can hammer the whole world into submission with his fist, but he doesn't, right? Like, and I think that's interesting. He has all these powers, right? And it's still a struggle to make the world a better place. Like, and that's what's really interesting. That for all of his might and for all of his, you know, all of this stuff, like, being a good person is still really, really hard. Doing good things in the world is still an adventure that is fraught with peril. Yeah. And I think that's you fail and you fuck up and it's humanizing, but, like, that we continue on that journey, that's the way towards, you know, a good life, I think is a really strong moral that is, I think, you know, it's a little bit different than, like, the kind of Batman power fantasy, right? Yeah. So I don't know. Like, if we're going to try to orient Stretch Armstrong in that direction, I would say, like, Stretch Armstrong is, like, again, like, you look at him, right? Like, he's goofy and ridiculous. He's this big, strong man in a little black Speedo, and he looks like a dork, and, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like this is a guy who wants, maybe it is, like, a guy who wants to just do good in the world. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you do just start. It is just like a small town, and he is a yoga instructor, and people know Stretch, and he's just Stretch, and it is what it is. Mm-hmm. And it's like, again, it'd be more about somebody. Again, it finally tickles somebody's fancy. Somebody has an idea, or they need Stretch for some reason. But maybe you do just do Stretches. He lives in a small town that embraces who he is. Like, his parents didn't hide. It's like the opposite of Frozen. It's like the parents didn't hide him. Like, the town accepted him. It's the town with Stretch. He's the yoga instructor. He's all stuff, and when he goes to the outside world, it's going to be what's, like, they aren't going to accept
him. He's
in
Smallville, and he's going to go to Metropolis, and it's like, is Metropolis going to chew up this poor, innocent, stretchy man and spit him out? I also, like, I'm trying to think, like, I remember I had a Stretch Armstrong doll at one point growing up, and I feel like the life of every Stretch Armstrong doll is the same, right? You get it, you're like, wow, right? And then you start stretching, and you're like, this is fun. And then it's, let's see how far we can stretch Stretch Armstrong, right? And so then you're pulling him. And you try to stretch all the different parts. Like, you try to, like, stretch him from the middle. You try to stretch him from the sides. You're pulling on him and pulling him on, pulling on him and pulling on him. And then eventually you get bored, and then you start cutting, you start fucking with him. Like, you know, people put him in the microwave, or they, like, I'm going to poke at him with a knife and see if I can cut him. Like, or you literally just get to, like, okay, you're going to tie one end of him to your bike, and I'm going to tie one end of him to my bike, and we're going to literally see how hard we have to pull this thing before he breaks, right? And so, like, I don't know. Is there something there in terms of the struggle that this guy, like, the world is going to see how hard they can stretch or Stretch Armstrong?
It is fitting that, like, I think one of the problems with Stretch Armstrong as an IP is I don't think anybody thinks of him as a superhero. He is actually just a torture machine. Like, nobody, I don't think I ever played with Stretch Armstrong. He's like, oh, his arm stretches and he punches.
And he's going to help
it's
someone.
Like, how far can this stretch before it breaks? How
That's
much can I
point.
Fuck with Armstrong?
He's like he's almost like a stress ball. You know what I mean? Like the same way that it's this kind of kinetic satisfaction you get from pulling
what about this?
Something.
Okay. Okay. So Stretch Armstrong is like a Venice Beach like dude. He's there. And his thing is he's just like, there's a lot of aggression in this world. Take it out on me. Like just beat me up. You guys can $20, you can just wail on me. I can take it. And then
actually, I really like the idea that starts with him. It's like the thing. Yeah, he says like, "Pay me $20, and you just fuck me up, and it's like you just mess with me."
And he's like, "Listen, I feel so much better after that." He becomes this like he's this literal punching bag, and no one thinks of him as a superhero, right? So this is about reclaiming his ability, and having him turn around from that because he thinks he's worthless. He's like, "This is all I'm good for. Everyone just uses me to like prevent their aggression."
Okay, I do want to say the idea of doing him as a Venice Beach gym rat, I think, is great.
Oh, absolutely.
But then, like, it's not his small town. It's his gym. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's his whole world is the gym, right? And then you do, like, then he goes on this quest to save his gym that takes him into the big wide world, right? Then he's like, oh my God, like, it's like the whole world is a gym that we all belong to. Do you know what I mean? Like, and he's like, we should all be maxing out. Like, I feel like this weightlifter thing, I actually really like.
Okay, I do like the small personal story where it is something like, I feel like it would be like the owner of the gym is like, kidnapped or something, or like it's the gym that's in trouble.
Save the gym,
save the community center.
I do want to throw in one thing here, which is there's also this thing called the Stretch Armstrong alien, which is this green monster.
Looks like Swamp Thing.
Yeah, it's like a Swamp Thing that can stretch. Is there a world where like the bad guy they do take Stretch Armstrong to get to make a monster. Like, not saying that's the story, but like, is that your ultimate? Like, does he fight like a big stretch monster at the end?
Oh yeah, I mean absolutely. Okay. I think yeah. Well, but what I could also see is you do right. Like you do Stretch Armstrong's pumping them weights, getting them gains. Do you know what I mean?
It's like, and make then, sure you do the full range of motion on your reps, and he's just slamming that chest bar like right into the ceiling every time.
He's just like boom, 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 right? And then you do like he gets up from the bench, right? And then this shifty looking scientist goes up to like the sweat on the bench and then like does a little eyedropper up and it's like, yes, good, this is what we need. And then it's your classic, the villain tries to appropriate his DNA to be some sort of super stretchy soldier serum, and then they inject it into a guy and he goes crazy and turns into a big green stretch monster.
Why is somebody a bodybuilder?
So really quick, the muscle building world.
Yes, muscle building world where you build muscles. Sure.
Oh, right.
I don't just build my body, Freddy. I build my muscles. Okay. What's he trying to do? Like, is he a bodybuilder and he has a family? Is he just bro? Like, again, is he just like, it's a fun lifestyle or it's a zen lifestyle? And he's with these guys. I'm just trying to figure out why he does it.
Because I have your answer. Yeah. He's this kid, and he's an outcast, and he was made fun of for being a big stretchy man, and he couldn't control his body, and then he started going to the gym, and all of the fucking gym bros accepted him. Because again, like one of the things that's really, I think, really empowering is it's like especially if you're at a good gym, right? Like you can come in, you're overweight, you're really skinny, you are just, you know, this is the first time you've ever exercised. And a gym can be a very accepting place.
Yes.
They accept anyone who walks in the door, no matter what their body looks like, no matter who they are, because they're like, hey, fitness is fitness. And like, this is what that's what we worship here. So Stretch Armstrong, this was his home. These were the people who accepted him. And then through weightlifting, he gained self-control of himself, right? And then he was able to harness and become the man he is today. And this gym is his temple because of that reason. And then he also, like, this gym to him is a beacon to all of the outsiders and outcasts the world over. You know, the other people like him, skinny kids, you know, like, you know, people who don't fit in or whatever. Like, the anathema of the gym is, like, you know, the idea of this elitism, right? Like, this, you know, like, that, like, you know, making fun of people for the way they look, making fun of people for, you know, shaming people's bodies, all about celebrating these people's bodies. And then, you know, developing them.
Okay, well, I do like, is there like this positive like body, like eat the, you know what we don't have for a long time is like the classic like, hey, here's a superhero that tells kids to eat their vegetables, like that. Which is also
like
a whole
the Wheaties
loaded
box,
thing,
like the Wheaties box athletes. And,
yes,
yeah.
I do like the idea that this gym culture and this like fitness culture is what let him control his powers.
Yeah,
And he could have done that from a very young age. Like he started wrestling, sports discipline. This stuff is what helped him.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. This is why he's in this gym world.
Yes.
And again, you do that. He was competing in athlete. He's an athlete and all this other stuff when he's a kid. He got to play football because he learned not to stretch, so nobody could say he was cheating and stuff like that and whatnot. Whatever. He likes sports and he's part of this community.
Mm-hmm.
What is he missing? What happens? What does that actually mean? Does he not use his powers at all? Like,
oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, again, because like, the thing you just said up there, just not like that. He wanted to be on the football team, but everyone would get mad at him if he stretched, right?
Yeah.
So, like, he's not he's controlling who he is, but he's not embracing who he is. Do you know what I mean? Like, something like that? I don't know.
Which is the end of Incredibles.
I don't know. Because so to me, just to kind of go intuitively for a second, like, I like the idea of this character, this very wholesome dude, and the gym is this wholesome environment where he learned self-acceptance, right? To a degree. Maybe not to an entire degree yet, but this is the place that loves him. And that you're going to put that place in crisis. And that he is going to have to sort of like venture out of his, it's a classic hero's journey. He's going to have to venture out of that comfort zone to go, you know, and grow and learn about himself and all this, you know, whatever. Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to, I am intrigued by the idea that he resists his stretching at the beginning. Like he was this kid whose muscles were all out of control. And then he developed, the gym accepted him for who he is. And now he's like, I can control it now, right? And like, I can fit in by being this buff, swole dude, you know what I mean? Like, and everyone just always talked about how he's really flexible, but people don't even remember him as the weird stretchy kid. And
so he doesn't stretch anymore.
So, like, but bear with me. What if you had a reverse Peter Parker moment where you do that the owner of the gym or somebody, Stretch Armstrong could have saved them if only he had stretched, but he didn't because he was scared and the person died or something like that. And it kind of sparks this thing. Like, I don't know. Is this about, I don't know. It's like the movie's him becoming more and more stretchy. I don't know.
One, I don't think it works if you have us go into like the villain and the past thing. I think it just gets muddy and it's like, it should just be a fun romp. It's the Save the Community Center thing, right? Like,
yeah.
It's the break in two. It feels like the moment there is like they're at the state football finals and he's like tackled and he's like, I could just stretch it and get a touchdown. And they're like, the ref blows the whistle and they're like, this team is disqualified. And that's like the moment where he's like, I can't stretch. Like, you know what I mean? Like, as far as like the kids and everyone shaming him for, you know, his thing. And then from that point on is not bad. Sort of beginning. What you're talking about as far as like a reverse Uncle Ben is not bad either.
Yeah, I don't know. It feels like a movie. I don't know. Like, I feel like Stretch Armstrong is like, he's like your human Paddington. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think he's just stretchy.
I think he's just a sweet, stretchy man. Like, I don't, like, you know what I mean? Like, I think, and it's just, and it's, he's one of those, again, it's a simple, good dude, and the world is, and this movie's going to throw everything it possibly can at him. Do you know what I mean? Like, again, like, Paddington is this, one of the reasons Paddington is so great, it's like, Paddington does not have a whole lot of, like, inner angst or stuff he needs to overcome. The world needs to become as good as Paddington is. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like you could do a similar thing here.
It's like, okay, does Stretch have a family? Is Stretch single? Is he a cool dad?
I like that the gym is his family.
Okay.
Like, I like that whatever his backstory is around that, but I like that, like, this is like where this is what he lives for, right?
Yes.
Yeah, maybe he has like a day job or something like that. He's like a grocery bagger or he sells hot dogs on the beach. But then he goes and the gym is his home, basically. He lives above the gym.
He's a beach boy.
He's a beach boy.
I mean, I know it's been the Rock Johnson, but this Stretch Armstrong is beach blonde beach boy.
Yeah, he lives for this little beach, the gym and the beach and all that stuff, right?
And he's got his friends that he's like, you know, he's got his like a little cadre of people he's doing a little personal training for on the side, right? You got the little skinny guy who's just like, oh, Stretch,
then it should be like, yes, he's got this nice beach community. Mm-hmm. The kids are on the beach. There are surfers. He's got his beach gym like in Venice. And it's a nice beach community and something comes. Drug dealers, a crime organization, something opens up next door that is clearly a problem. He's like, what's going on here? And yes, it is. Stretch Armstrong is going to protect his little his Zen beautiful land where people accept him who he is and like each other and embrace each other from some problem.
Is it he has to protect his home, or is it his he has to go find a new home? Is it like he or he has to go out into the big wide world to save his home? Like I'm trying to
is it evil developers
that
comes
one.
Out and
I
comes
mean,
back?
Because it's almost like it reminds me a little bit. Actually, I think Ung Bak the Thai Warrior has a really great structure where he's in this village and he's this kid, and then the idol gets stolen, like, and it causes a drought essentially, or like, and so then this kid from the sticks has to go to the big city and go to Bangkok and, like, you know, meet up with his cousin who's kind of forgotten his past, and the two of them go on this adventure to get the idol back. Like, I think, like, the what is I like that to me that's what's interesting is, like, this big muscly hunk, like, who never gets out of his speedo, like in Venice Beach, like, that's not a he's like, oh yeah, whatever, but it's like that guy walking around New York City in that outfit, I'm like, that's a trailer shot, do you know what I mean? Okay. Like the like you're gonna Crocodile Dundee or something like that.
Okay, all right,
I have a thing. This is very stupid. You do. The town is known for having the world's biggest thermometer or biggest juice blender or whatever, and the juice blender gets stolen. Mm. Like, it disappears one day. And then they're like, no one's going to come to our... I'm just stealing Ung Bak now. But it's like, it's a tourism spot for this town. And then they're like, wait, our whole town's economy revolves around this goofy thing. Like, we've got to go get it back, you know, to save our town. And then Stretch Armstrong's like, well, golly gee, Wilgers, I'll go do something about it. And then he goes to the city to find it.
Okay. Here's what can – yes, I like something – I like that some – again, I also just like the classic, like, big city slickers come to a small town, but it's like Venice. It's like fancy hipster Venice.
You could also
beach
do, like, some NorCal surf town.
Yeah, it could be – yeah, it could be, like, Santa
by the
Cruz.
Way, it should be –
by the way, the ending
Pismo.
Is absolutely – absolutely, the ending is he needs to blend up the world's biggest protein shake and chug it down.
The world's biggest blender, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, but okay, so what should be coming here is my wife always called it the Poo Palace. I'm trying to find out what it is. It should be a waste management facility. Because if you've driven.
What?
Have you ever. So there's a big waste management facility in California that's on the coast. And
oh,
we did a
field
trip.
To San Diego.
Yes, and we did a field trip once to it. But it is like the whole time, once you start getting there, it smells like shit. And you're like, man, it would suck to live in this community. So, that's just, bring
so
it.
You're still thinking it's something comes to the town, not he
no,
goes
no, no,
somewhere
but
else.
It's like. It's going to be – he's got to go because it is like the
– HQ or something.
The big Wall Street guys or whatever. But it is this thing because it's also like he's about to – body's a temple. Mm-hmm. And it's this clean beach town. And literally these people who don't give a shit about the town are going to bring in shit. Like a giant shit machine that spits shit out into the ocean is what's going to ruin his entire place. And he's going to go stop it or whatever. He's got to go make his case. I don't know how that turns into fighting crime. But it's also like, you know, you get into like the trash world. You can get into like
I do feel obligated to point out, right? It could be a nefarious thing. I do feel obligated to point out that many waste management facilities basically clean all that stuff up real nice.
What just to sidestep that for just a second, there's some crisis. He's got to go to the big city to handle it, right? Yeah. And it's almost like a what is the Frank Capra's Stretch Armstrong, essentially, right? Like he's Mr. Deeds going to town or going to Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, right? Like and then I think once he's in New York or once he's in the big evil city or whatever, he's just this, again, like where he's from, if someone's struggling with a set, you rush over and help him, right? Like, like this is a big city where nobody helps each other, right? So again, like he sees someone getting mugged and he sees the guy running away. So naturally he just stretches to grab the car to stop the guy from getting away. And everyone's like, who is this guy? And then he becomes like this sort of like accidental superhero to this city.
So it feels like his problem, it'd be like, okay, just to try to, it's Stretch Armstrong land, beach, has a problem that sends him to the big city. It feels like there is some other character, like just for the sake of ease right now, a cop, and they have a problem that's bigger and involves crime, so there's punchy stuff because we need him to punch stuff. And his small problem ends up mixing with
the big problem.
And it's like, he's just like, I'm just here for not the elephant because that's Ung Bak, but I'm here for
a
this.
Really big
and
blender.
She's like, oh, do you know who took that? Kingpin. And at first she's like, you need to stay out of here, we'll bring your stupid elephant back to your little small beach town. And he's like, oh, okay, well, you know, she's like, I can help, I'm stretchy or whatever, and he gets involved in it,
yeah,
more or less. Okay,
it's an evil, it's like Powerade or Muscle Milk, right? There's like a there's like an evil fit that says Soylent, do you know what I mean? They want to sell protein shakes to you know, people on the go, right? Like, and they steal, like, again, like the smoothie bar that he works at or that the gym runs out of the side of their, they have a smoothie shack at the gym and they have some formula or something like that. That I don't know. I'm just trying
how
to.
How about it? Okay, maybe this is loaded. How about it's like Flint, Michigan? It's like what it is. It's like they have this nice clean town and the water is getting gross and people are getting sick and like the smoothies taste bad. And then it's like it gets worse now. They realize it's sick and he's like, he's going to go figure out. And like nobody's listening to them. And he's and it's like he knows it's caused by this organization that is flooding the waterways or whatever. He goes in to talk about it. And it's like, sure enough, it's like, oh, it's because the city's fucking corrupt right now. Mm-hmm. And there's like, this is all from this crime lord that's running this place. And that's why the waste management systems are spitting whatever they're, and what it is they're making Stretch Armstrongs, aliens. I don't know. But anyways, I don't know. Cause then it's like, oh, this town's under attack. Like it is becoming unhealthy and he's all about health.
He's okay, so it's this beach town. Okay, I'll just well, let's roll. We got to decide on something. We're gonna go with the water thing. There's a weird plant has been is dumping, or there's the water is going bad, yeah. Right? And like your people are getting sick, no one's coming to the gym because none of them feel well enough to go work out. The smoothies taste bad, and they discover the source of it, right? Yeah. They're like, oh, it's because there's this disgusting tube that's just pumping chemicals into the water into our yeah. drinking water, right? And so Stretch is like, well, you know, let's all get our signatures together and I'll take a little petition.
We'll petition. Fuck it. Let's just go all health. Like, let's go all. This is 80s. This yeah. is like that sort of thing. It's like it's because in the big city they're making like power bar preserves. There's no natural food anymore. And the biggest conglomerate of like whatever. You see a thousand of those like breakfast bars. The Nestle. Yeah. Yes. Fuck yeah. Nestle. It is like the Nestle of the city.
Yeah.
And they are making the new protein bars that everybody in the city eats because nobody has time for fresh food and vegetables anymore, and the and what they do is they take all the good stuff out of it, and this waste or whatever is going is flowing down and hurting this wonderful small town where Stretch Armstrong and his beach so boys and girls work out and are awesome and healthy and doing everything right.
Okay, yes, and then they go to the town and it's Nestle Town and everyone loves the Nestle water, right? Like they're like, and so that's another part of the problem is that it's like he can't just stop them from like this whole yeah. city will fall apart yes. If Nestle goes down, right? So, all right, this does not sound like a movie with a lot of punching in it. So I'm trying to, like, how does this...
Well, no, I mean, you punch the people at Nestle. You would make that this is... I mean, where there's a lot of money, there's...
There's bad guys, there's goons, right? Nestle hires a bunch of local mercenaries to come take out this, like, revolutionary who showed up, and they start shooting them, and he's like, oh, no, and I'm so stretchy, and the bullets fling back at them.
Okay, so here's what I would say, is yeah. that you would do... Stretch Armstrong comes to the big city, right? And no one gives a shit about him. No one's listening to him. And then he's got to raise his pro. Again, it's like, you know, like when an athlete, you know, makes it their job to mm-hmm. advocate for something. Like he joins a bodybuilding competition in the mm-hmm. big city, right? And then everyone's okay. like, who's this Stretch Armstrong? Holy cow. Isn't he the guy that thwarted that robbery? Like, you know, like and every second he gets a chance, he's talking about this clean water thing that's so important to him, right? Yeah. And he like, so he enters the, and again, you would do this Nestle against like Gatorade, right? Like yeah. they have like a whole fitness competition because mm-hmm. like that's part of how they're elevating their brand. So yeah. he joins the fitness competition. And you know, like it's them, and then they're trying to take him out. Like he's this rogue candidate, essentially. You know what I mean? And he's talking about how like
they have their new mascot who's gonna win, like Mr. The, Nestle's.
And then the
all
girl,
the sponsors are like, there's Gatorade sponsoring somebody, there is like Power Bar sponsoring somebody, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're like, who's your sponsor for this wrestling competition? And he's like, just good old vegetables and healthy food. And like,
yeah, yeah.
Who the fuck is this guy?
And or it's his gym back home. Gym. It's his, yeah, it's his old gym, like their smoothies home. Or whatever. Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah. So then, okay, so then he's doing this bodybuilding competition, and he's helping people, and
he's disrupting this big city culture.
Here's the superhero dynamic. Is okay. you do okay, this is it. Is you do he is this bodybuilder by day and he's a superhero by night. Mm-hmm. Right? Cause this, you know, like he starts, you know, like he saves someone again, like he just cause he thwarts a robbery or whatever, mm-hmm. right? And then he but like he's like a masked superhero who is like trying to help people in the city. I don't know. Maybe you don't need that. Like the
does he stay at an Airbnb and there's like Well, Airbnb's on like a bed and breakfast. I don't know. I was like thinking, does he have like a? It does feel like it would be like a kid as a relationship. Is there some like kid bullied at school in this like big city that he is staying with because he needs a place to stay and he can't afford a big hotel?
Also, by the way, I like the idea in terms of the overall arc. Yes, I think that there should be some kind of sidekick sort of character for it. Like the school newspaper is like writing about his exploits or something. But I like that dynamic of like as he's there, he's getting like let's say he wins a competition like somewhere in the midpoint or even early on, and then it's like he's getting wooed by all these guys like, we want to sponsor you and stuff. And he starts to like slowly fall victim to it. It's like, oh, okay, wow, everyone like likes me. And it's like, Stretch, don't forget why you were here. Don't forget your gym. Like at some point he like picks up like his old like tank top and it's got the logo of his gym on. He's like, I gotta get it. Gotta get it back to the thing. The thing I was here in the first place for, as far as an arc goes.
I mean,
it ends with his smoothies, like, are, you know, world renowned now because or whatever. But, like, yeah, I don't know.
It feels like it would be, yeah. So, I like the idea of a bodybuilding competition that he enters. And I like, again, the kind of perspective of this is kind of like, you know, like your Forrest Gump, Fool Triumphant, to quote Blake Snyder, type movie, like the sweet, simple hunk comes to the big city and like everyone is just, wow, everyone's mean here and no one helps each other. And like, you know, like this is like, you know, back at the gym, if you didn't have the money to pay for your membership this month, you know, everybody would chip in and help you out. You know, it's like we'd spot you. You know, it's all about we'll all spot you. Like we're all here to help each other with our struggles. Right. So I like in terms of like an emotional thrust. That being the core of this character, and then someone taking advantage of that, you know what I mean? Like it would be like he gets manipulated by someone. Again, it's like when it's like the in Speed Racer when he, you know, he thinks he's doing the right thing, and this was all just he gets played by the corporate machine. Like it would be he gets sponsored by a rival of Nestle, right? You know, like in this bodybuilding competition, and maybe he's entering the competition to raise money. To help his hometown, you know, or something like that, or like
Because I think you could make it almost like a tournament, sort of, you know, like Enter the Dragon, like competition movie type of thing.
Here's something I would say, because yes, I agree. Like bodybuilder, Enter the Dragon.
You do it like it's a strongman competition. There's like, and then different events and stuff like that. And the stretchiness even helps him out for like the tire flip or whatever.
It's like a world's strongest man type.
And Nestle has like their ringer in who's going to be their new corporate mascot that he's like thwarting at every turn.
The competition's rigged so that this other guy's gonna win. But Stretch, because he's so flexible, is able to stretch around the sabotage. Your midpoint, he's like, hey, I don't want this pollution dumping into my town.
Yeah.
But like, where is the pollution supposed to go? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it is the deeper concerns, there's communities other than his. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're like, maybe he even like, you know, like your classic midpoint is like, they're like, all right, this is becoming unpopular. We'll move our plant and they just dump it in someone else's backyard. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And it's like he hasn't addressed the root problem, right? Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, not fucking caring about other people and, you know, fucking being cynical or what. I don't know. Is it something like that? I don't know.
Do you do, to go down the bodybuilding thing, ignoring punching and stuff like that, he comes there, the Nestle guy, sorry. No, why am I saying sorry to Nestle? Nestle guy is like, oh, that's so adorable. You're from that town that we're dumping shit on. Okay. Oh, wow, you stretch. Well, for some reason in this city, all the big corporations got a big wrestler. So tell you what, you be our wrestler, and then we'll see about dumping the water elsewhere. But little does he realize is like he's the most popular. He's this now Nestle wrestler. He's made Nestle water so popular that he like, you know what I mean? It's like he's essentially been used by this guy.
Him being a wrestler is way more fun than him being a bodybuilder. Oh, yeah, I like that a lot. Yeah.
And this is like this crazy corporate world where all corporations have sponsored wrestlers, and they fight them, and Nestle guy's like, holy shit, you'd be the best wrestler ever. Tell you what. But then when he comes back home, it's like they all love Nestle Water now because Stretch Armstrong sponsors Nestle Water.
That's a wrestling movie.
Sorry, bodybuilding. Just say that.
But no. I like wrestling. Wrestling's better. Wrestling's more dynamic. It's more cinematic.
It also makes more sense. You don't have to worry about, like, does he punch people?
I like the idea of that. Okay, here's what you do. He's coming to the city. He's trying to raise awareness about his cause to get, you know, to help his town out, right? Yeah. Like, Nestle's polluting his town. It's ruining his town. No one gives a shit, right?
Yeah.
And then this reporter or this hustling, you know, new sports writer who covers the wrestling beat, right, is like, you need to become a wrestler. If you can defeat Nestle's wrestler in the ring, you'll be able, you'll get, you know, your moment in the sun, and then you can raise awareness about this town, and you'll, mm-hmm. you'll blah 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 blah, right? But then to become a good wrestler, Stretch Armstrong has to develop a wrestling personality, right? Like, he has to become, you know, like, he's got to do the heel face thing, you know, he's mm-hmm. got to be like, you know, he's got to, you know, so like, it's like he, do you
he's
got to
play
like,
into the theatricality.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So he goes to the big city to become a wrestler, to get into a tournament, to beat this guy, and, you know, save his hometown, right?
Yes.
And then I see where the antagonism comes from for that, because like Nestle. He's like, oh shit, this guy's gonna be a fucking problem. Like, we gotta take him out. Like, I like that kind of angle. I like him learning about, like, you know, he always uses bodybuilding for good, but now he's gonna be like, you know.
I feel like the way you make that in a movie is that you get that when he's in the big city, one of the first things he does is a kid is about to get hit by a car. He stretches and saves the kid. The mm-hmm. kid is the son or daughter of Mr. Nestle. Mm-hmm. And what you do is, the end moment is like him not just worrying about his own community, is they're going to save the water of his town, but he's going to leave realizing that the city is still shitty and this kid is still in a shitty situation. And it's like, no, what, Stretch Armstrong could be more useful here and being a positive influence in this city, because yeah, this kid needs me. This kid's been bullied and he has a shitty dad or whatever. But I would do something where it's like he saves – saving the town's not going to be enough. He's like, he also needs to help and spread the positive
so
influence to the rest of the world.
He starts a gym in the city or something.
Yes, he starts like a Stretch Armstrong gym in the city.
Yes, to him. Yeah.
And then the kid comes every day and he's teaching him confidence and
yeah, because he needs to bring that wholesome philosophy to this yeah. place. I like that. I like that as you're in, as he starts a gym. I would say that it feels like a midpoint thing could be like, he's fighting these other wrestlers, right? But mm-hmm. he's bonding with them as well.
Yeah, he's
and
kind.
So you do,
he's
there's
cool.
another wrestler and they're going to just dump their shitty toxic waste in this guy's hometown mm-hmm. now. Do you remember? Like, it causes this bigger crisis, right? Yeah. Like, or again, like, they're gonna process all of their, again, like, the kid he's bonded with, like, yeah. this, he has foisted the problem off of his shoulders, but now it's gonna spread out elsewhere, right? So then yeah. you do, like, he and the wrestlers have to unite or something like that, like, the, like, it's, you know, and they, you know, whatever.
Yeah, so just to clarify, Stretch yeah. Armstrong is in a beach Venice town.
Yes.
That is getting flooded and polluted with Nestle water. And he goes to the big city to...
When Nestle makes their power juice, yeah. right, which is the,
juice is the name of it. Yeah,
power juice, like, again, and WrestleTown runs on power juice, right? Yes. Like, it's this big wrestling city. Everyone loves power juice. It makes a ton of money. But, like, when they make power juice, it has all these toxic components, right, yeah. that they need to get rid of and dump somewhere, yeah. right? So they've been just casually dumping it upstream from his from Beachville, where Stretch yeah. Armstrong is from, and now Beachville's water has become poisoned, and, you know, the town is dying. And he goes to the big city to, A, he's got to figure out what the heck's going on, and then he wants to stop Nestle from polluting his town by winning this wrestling tournament and exposing them, essentially.
Yeah.
And then that's where the story goes. And then, you know, he realizes that the whole world is his town. The whole world is his gym, and we all have to work together.
I've realized, if I were just to self-criticize us for a moment, I feel like whatever it is, whether it's Jumper or this, it feels like when somebody just has a power, we're very bad at just embracing the power and figuring out how to do it.
That's a good point.
What do you mean?
It was like, I mean, I don't
There's
know
not
how
a
many
lot
people
of stretching going on in this movie.
It's Stretch Armstrong's a wrestler who fights for.
Good point.
All right, let's take 5 minutes and come up with a stretch-related climax to this movie.
Yeah. I feel like using him as a slingshot.
Oh yeah, the slingshot thing's right really good. Yeah. It. Oh yes, that was the idea we had, was that the whole town unites to shoot him somewhere. Yes.
Or use him as a slingshot to shoot all the waste out into outer space.
Into the sun.
Into the sun.
That's true. It's like just, all this waste. It's nuclear
first,
waste.
It's the first half of the Futurama. We ignore the fact that maybe it could come back or it goes to another planet. But mm-hmm. they've literally said that it's impossible to hit something in space. Like the percentage, if you point anywhere,
yeah,
the percentage of hitting something
anything.
Is essentially
well,
zero.
Well, that's your sequel.
Stretch Armstrong. The aliens come because, like, who the fuck shot all this trash mm-hmm. into outer space? And Stretch Armstrong looks at him and is like, no, what? You guys, I think you all need to go to the gym a little bit. Here, I'll show you what's up. And then he goes and he sets up a gym in outer space.
I have one last question, and then I think we can stop and do the elevator.
Yeah.
What is your low point for the movie? Is the only thing I feel like I do. I feel like I get the general arc of it. He's a buff boy from the – he's buff, stretchy man. There's his town's getting polluted. He goes to the big city to try to do something about it, and he realizes the only way to do something about it is to become a big shot celebrity. So he becomes a pro wrestler. He uses his pro wrestling, you know, fame to raise awareness about his cause. But then
they cheat. He loses. He gets knocked out of the tournament. You get a nice shot of him being like all like he's lets himself go literally, so his arms are just dragging behind him in the alley as it rains. But plucky reporter or what have you has a way of getting him back in, a la Speed Racer, so that he can come in and play the final match somehow. He's a wild card contender or what have you, and he wins.
All I know is that when you said that, I just it made me feel sad about how little we played with him stretching, because now I just want a gag where like he has to leave a date or something and he walks away like hunched and slow and sad, but he's still signing the bill, so his hand's left on the table. It's like signing the bill, and Stretch Armstrong's just walking away in the rain like, but it's just this big, long arms are there paying the bill, and then it's like, oh, wait, how much do you tip? And sitting there, and the lady's just sitting there awkward with these two hands still there. She's just
I
like,
do like, okay, if he's going to come to the big city, you would definitely do like his first thing is he has to he can like rent is exorbitant and he needs to do like six jobs in order to be able to do
it's to afford his place
to afford his place, so he gets a job at like a at a cafe at a diner, right? But he is the waiter, the cook, the janitor, and the, you know, and the cashier all at once, so you get this slapstick sequence of him stretching all over the place to do everything. Okay, sorry, go ahead, Freddie.
Well, there we go. When we come back, a stretchy elevator pitch. And here's the best thing about a stretchy elevator pitch. That elevator could stretch on for a long time, guys. When we come back, the elevator pitch.
My name is Adam, and I love Story Break.
I'm Megan, and I love Mabim Bam.
What really first got me into the show was the idea of creating a whole story out of a very simple concept.
I super love Haunted Doll Watch.
I just want to see what they come up with next.
I realized I was listening to almost every podcast you guys put out, but when I realized I was consuming almost everything you produced, I felt that it was, like, unfair of me not to give you something, because you're giving me so much.
Honestly, Maximum Fun, they get me through my work week. It makes me laugh every day, nearly getting several car accidents, but that's on me.
These are listeners just like you, and they support Story Break and My Brother and Me with a Max Fun membership. The 2018 Max Fun Drive is April 2nd through 13th, and if you want to support your favorite shows too, it is the best time to sign up or upgrade your membership. Just tune in starting April 2nd, and we'll give you all the details.
Welcome back, and shout out to our main man, Adam, over there, giving us some love. You know, it's so much better when someone tells you that stuff as opposed to reading on iTunes reviews. Anyway, thank you so much, Adam. Please, hands at 10 and 2, eyes on the road. Don't drift around. And also, if you're feeling a little tired, take a nap. I want you to drive safe out there. just driver's ed tips here with Freddie. The Max Fun Drive is coming up. That is starting next week, April 2nd through 13th. So thank you to everybody who is an already supporting Max Fun Drive member. And for all you future potential Max Fun Drive contributors and re-uppers, we'll see you over the next couple of weeks there. We got some cool stuff planned. We'll talk a little bit more about it after, of course, everyone's favorite part of the podcast, the elevator pitch.
Matt, who are you going to be pitching to today? Are you going to be pitching to me, Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to need a big elevator.
I'm sorry. Oh, my God. Hello, Mr. Rock Johnson. Hello.
The name's Matt. Dwayne, pal. This is what Dwayne The Rock Johnson sounds like.
Well, Mr. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, hi, I'm Matt Arnold from Rocket Jump. We've heard that you are looking for about 100 movies this year, and we have one of those for you.
Oh, yeah. Let me eat 12,000 calories real quick while you tell me all about it.
Now, Dwayne, did you ever have a Stretch Armstrong?
Stretch Armstrong? I love that crazy guy.
We all do. Now, we all know that Stretch Armstrong is a superhero and a crime fighter, but I think everybody has the same experience, which is when you got him, you just want to see how far you can stretch him. How much can Stretch Armstrong take? Well, you know what? The world's going to find out when the big city comes to Stretch Armstrong's small beach town and takes everything they value. The good health, the clean living, and the working out, and those hot, hot bods that they worked over there. And
so, they're going to take their bods?
They're going to take their bods.
No one can take a man's bod. A man's bod is a temple to his own mind and discipline and training.
So stretches.
So saith I, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who sounds like this, brother.
So Stretch Armstrong's patience and values and everything that he knows is going to be stretched to the limit as he tries to survive in the big city as a hotshot wrestler working for the company that is spilling pollution into his town, as he tries to help out stopping crimes in the big city, as he sees that everybody around there is just sad and miserable, unlike his sweet town. In the end, it's going to be not about how much can Stretch take, but what he can let go.
That's
sounds like a pretty vague pitch, Matt. I have some follow-up questions.
Yes, Mr. Rock Johnson. What are those follow-up questions?
Am I going to be playing Dwayne the Rock Johnson as Stretch Armstrong in this movie?
Yes.
Okay.
That would have been good to say at the beginning.
I like that. And what would you say the theme of this movie is, brother?
It's eating healthy and working out is good for everybody, even if you can stretch.
Me playing a wrestler, that sounds like a bit of a reach to me. But I think I just might give you the green light after I go make Jumanji 7. Smell you later, Matt. Boom.
That was very generous of Mr. Dwayne the Rock Johnson to give us a green light on that one.
Hey, guys, I'm back. How did the pitch go? Was that Macho Man Randy Savage you were just talking to? I didn't realize he was still alive.
Yeah, oh, Matt, shit. That was Macho Man Randy Savage.
Guys,
that
I blew it. I called him Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Oh, my God.
Classic mistake.
Constantly. He was really nice about it, though. He just kind of went along with it. So,
wow. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. Oh, wanted to talk about some of this Kirby fan art that came in. Will, have you seen some of these?
We got some real, real good Kirby stuff this week.
We did.
Cool friend at Albino Penguin gracing us once more with a very cool sort of like black and white noir type Kirby poster starring Ashley as Kirby, which is a pretty good pick, and Willem Dafoe, Academy Award winner, as King DDD. Venture to Dreamland with Kirby, or as I was calling it, the Kirby's Falcon. Jonathan Shorter at JS Story Break tweeted us an incredible Photoshop of like the Martha moment from Batman v Superman, but it's Kirby as Batman and King DDD as Superman. It's very, very good. And we'll have that one retweeted as well. Downtown Ryan Brown at our Alistair Brown once more hitting us up with a great poster for Kirby's Dreamland. Fuck it. Not from the studio who brought you Thor.
Maybe the first poster with the word fuck in it. That's just going to be commercial released.
Yeah, it's definitely coming out to a theater near you
soon.
I
do like that in that poster. That Kirby does look like the one we were scared of. Like, he definitely looks like the bad guy. He is angry with his wand screaming, and then it looks like these four innocent terror, like it looks like those four people are going to fight Kirby.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I wish we had, that's very good.
So great job, Ryan, once again. Wesley Regan hit us up at Wesley D. Regan with a Curb Your Enthusiasm poster, which I was also very happy to see.
Don't encourage Will, guys.
Please continue to encourage me. And then we got another Monster Valley poster from Manly Cupcake at the Man Lee with an I Cupcake on Twitter for Monster Valley. I really liked that. Our boy Harvey got some love in the top left corner of this poster. Harvey and Elliot both there, and Elliot looking incredibly hunky as our heroine faces off with the dragon. So thanks again, once again, to all of our fans, and a special shout out to everyone who sent us some fan art this week.
And for those of you who want to send in some fan art, or maybe get your name used in consideration for one of the episodes, hit us up at RJ Story Break on Twitter. Oh, and next week. The Maximum Fun Drive, April 2nd through 13th. For those of you who don't know, Maximum Fun Drive is a pledge drive that Maximum Fun does every year. The podcast network that they are so gracious to have us on their network. There's going to be a lot of cool stuff going on. One of the things you get if you pledge is you get access to like a pledge sort of feed of bonus episodes, not just of us, but of all the shows on Maximum Fun. And we just finished our bonus episode and we submitted it over there. And it was a doozy. We did Video Game High School Season 4.
I was really terrified about doing Video Game High School for our bonus episode, but I'm really stoked for how it came out. So yeah,
it turned out really good.
It did. It was actually like I would be really pumped to make that season of that show, which we will probably never do. But
we came out of that being like, oh shit, can we still do the show? It's very. I think people wondering old? What. I think people will like what we came up with for what the characters were doing after season 3.
Hopefully it's interesting for two reasons. If you're a Video Game High School fan and you've been wondering what happened to Brian and Ted and Jenny and the Law, you'll get answers to all of those questions in our officially canon bonus episode by subscribing to Maximum Fun. But I think also if you don't know Video Game High School, it's a chance to hear us talk about our own work as opposed to just trying to cover someone else's
idea. Yeah, what's interesting about that one is it's because we have such a familiarity with it, it's a
we actually realized we approach it a little bit differently when it's our own stuff. A lot of the stuff is similar, but anyway, if you're aspiring writers and creators out there, I think it's actually a very interesting episode because you get to see someone play with their own sauce. That's a weird thing to say, but it's what you get to do. So again, that's starting next week. It's a pledge drive. So if you want to support us and any other Maximum Fun show, that is the time to tune in. That is the time to pledge and join. Anyway, I think that's going to do it for us this week here at Storybrooke. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for the Maximum Fun Network for having us. Tune in for the Max Fun Pledge Drive happening next week. And so until then.
Cool.
So until
I think Dwayne is here to help us do our sign off.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he just going to replace you or is he going to be in addition to
you? Hey, Dwayne, do you want to jump in right before me? Yeah, sounds good, brother.
Actually, sorry, Dwayne, really quick. Can you actually jump in between me and Freddie? I think that's what it should
okay.
be. So it's going to go Will, Freddie, and then Dwayne the Rock Johnson, then me, then Will.
I feel like I'm getting a lot of micromanaged notes from different people in the room, but I'll go along with it. I'll commit to the bit.
All right. Until next week, thank
me
for
being
the
awesomest
dude
in
every
Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
What? I don't know. We can't have Dwayne do this anymore.
Following the news is hard and it sucks.
How do you know which stories are important?
Which sources do you trust in this post-truth world of reactionary journalism?
I'm Brett Black.
And I'm Travis McElroy.
And we host a podcast called Trends Like These.
We cover trending news stories.
We debunk misleading clickbait headlines.
And we always try to throw in a little bit of good news.
In our quest for truth.
So join us every week on MaximumFun.org or wherever podcasts are found.